Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, and it's the last day of term, our final episode before we head off for our summer break. And wait a minute, Stanley, what's this lot? Oh, Hungry Hippos, Buckaroo, Kaplunk, oh I like that, Operation, yep, I know I said it was the last day of term, but oh, never mind. This week the Office for National Statistics released the latest figures on health inequalities, showing that the poorest members of society are destined to die 9 years earlier than the most privileged. Men in the most deprived areas have an average life expectancy of 74 years, compared to 83 years for those living in the most affluent areas of the country. For women, the figures are pretty similar, with figures at 79 years and 86 years. Statistics were drawn from population data for England between 2010 and 2012. There are approximately 5.4 million people in what is called the bottom decile of deprivation, who will also spend 15% less of their short lives in good health compared to those in least deprived areas. The government are, as expected, making all the right noises, saying we want to see people living a healthy, high-quality life for as long as possible. It's unacceptable to see so much variation across the country in the healthy life expectancy. We know many local areas are taking positive steps to tackle this, especially in the face of lifestyle factors like high smoking or obesity rates, which contribute to poor health. Rather like Eric Morecambe, though, I can't help but feel it's a case of all the right words, but not necessarily in the right order. It's not much use crying about the ring-fenced public health budget if you sweep under the carpet the massive cuts to those services dealing with the wider determinants of health, which provide many of the underlying reasons why we still have such a prominent health inequality gap. Strange also that we're still talking about a subject that Edwin Chadwick raised over 150 years ago. At that time, the life expectancy for a labourer living in Leeds was a stunning 19 years, while a professional tradesman could be expected to live until he was 44. Life expectancy has increased incredibly since then, but unfortunately it's still a case of mind the gap. Looking at the EU, life expectancy for men is highest in Sweden, where the figure is 79.9 years, and for women in Spain, where the figure is 85.1.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness.
Now, fancy a glass of raw milk? Well, after a decision by the Food Standards Agency this week, the jury's still out on whether controls over the sale of raw milk should be relaxed. The results of a four-month consultation gave the idea the thumbs up, but the FSA are yet to be convinced, wanting more research on possible pathogens and the effectiveness of current testing routines. Earlier this year, Selfridges in London hit the headlines when dairy farmer Stephen Hook tried to sell his raw milk in the store. Certainly when I was at college, the number of nasties you could get from raw milk turned any but the most enthusiastic student against having a bit of a bash. Of course, in typical media tradition this week, the BBC found enthusiastic raw milk drinker Mike Lodge, who told them, "I've been drinking raw milk every day for 7 years, and there are plenty of health benefits." Congratulations are in order for the Health and Safety Executive's Mythbusters panel, who this week dealt with their 300th case, which involved the village pub, wait for this, that refused to put a mirror in its disabled toilet for health and safety reasons. Which were exactly? Amongst the HSE's favourites in the other 299 cases were the fishmonger who refused to fillet a fish, the charity shop that refused to sell knitting needles, and the school that banned yo-yos from the playground. Hold on, Stanley. Didn't you bring a yo-yo in with all those games? Here, let's have a go. While all all eyes are on Glasgow for the Commonwealth Games, a report issued this week suggested that the athletes might find it tough going. Scott's cities are 10 years behind on air quality, said the headline in The Scotsman. The report by Friends of the Earth Scotland said streets in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dundee, Aberdeen, Perth and Linlithgow are all set to breach EU limits in 2014. Data for January to July showed that Hope Street in Glasgow showed nitrogen dioxide levels at 66 micrograms per cubic metre, with the EU limit being 40. The pressure group predict Glasgow will struggle to meet EU air quality limits before 2025. Air quality is the least of their worries in the Chinese city of Yumen, where a population of 30,000 have been quarantined after a 38-year-old resident died of bubonic plague. Thought the man caught the infection while skinning a dead marmot to feed to his dogs. 150 contacts have been placed under close observation, while the city has been closed off by police roadblocks. Supermarket giant Sainsbury's have unveiled the first store in the UK to be powered entirely by food waste. The company's superstore in Cannock in Staffordshire has been taken off the national grid, as all its electricity is now supplied by the Biffa anaerobic digestion plant down the road. Sainsbury's stores from around the country send food waste to the plant if they can't donate it to charity or use it for animal feed. If the scheme is successful, it's hoped that others will follow suit. Finally this week, our eyes were drawn to an excellent piece in The Guardian by our old friend Jim McManus, Hertfordshire's Director of Public Health, which sets out three leadership challenges for public health. They are managing long-term conditions, how to put more resources into prevention of long-term disease, and one particular close to our heart, how to apply public health skills to make local government a true public health sector, rather than a collection of councils with a public health responsibility foisted upon them. Jim's blog, The Commonplace Book on WordPress, is also well worth a look, and that's certainly one we've highlighted for our holiday reading. Talking of which, it's time for us to be off, as that's the end of series 4 of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. As always, I'm shocked at how many good people out there want to listen to the ramblings of an EHP and his Furby buddy, but it's been a pleasure to have your company along the way, and we'll be back in September with series 5 and some more of the same. Okay, Stanley, factor 30, selection of fine reading, some great tunes on the iPod, and can we take a plunk? Yeah, what are we waiting for? Let's head for the beach.
Here comes summer, school is out, oh happy day. Here comes summer, I'm gonna grab my girl and run away. Here comes summer, we'll go swimming every day and let the sun shine bright.
I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, presented and produced by Bahid Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licence. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
If she's willing, we'll go steady right away. Oh, let the sun shine bright on my happy summer. Summertime at last.